Let's continue reading chapter 4 of Joshua. Now, in this chapter, we read about the children of Israel setting up two 12-stone monuments, one in the riverbed and one on the west shore of the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Once again, let's begin Joshua chapter 4 now with some background notes. Setting up stones as memorial markers was common in Old Testament times. You know, we even build stone monuments today to mark historic events, right? In the Old Testament, we find that these stone markers were either single stones or groups of stones, as here in Joshua chapter 4. Setting up a large stone or stones marked the place as significant because of a covenant made or as a reminder of an important event. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 18, we read that Jacob set up a stone as a pillar in commemoration of the dream God had given him at Bethel. Remember that? In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, we read that when Israel defeated the Philistines, Samuel set up a stone in commemoration of that event. Here in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, we read in verse 26 that Joshua made a covenant with the people and he set up a stone. So you see, this was not unusual to set up these stones. You find it many places in the Old Testament. Now here in Joshua chapter 4, there are two sets of stones set up, two memorial markers set up of 12 stones each to remind the people of this event. The first set of 12 stones was taken from the riverbed where the priests were standing with the ark and set up in Gilgal on the west side of the Jordan River. Chapter 4, verse 8. And then verse 20. All right, that's one set. That's the first set. The second set of 12 stones was set up right there in the midst of the Jordan where the ark was standing as the people crossed over. Verse 9. Now, some of your translations make it appear as if there is only one set of stones set up. But I think verse 9 definitely indicates there were two 12-stone markers set up, one in the riverbed and one on the west side at Gilgal. Now, why two sets of 12-stone markers? Well, the answer as to why two stone markers brings us to our doctrinal points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, believers are united with Christ in his death. Believers are united with Christ in his death. Now, where do we see that truth taught here? We see it in the spiritual picture that we have here in Joshua chapter 4. Remember, we said that the Ark of the Covenant is a picture of Christ as our leader and Savior. The waters of the Jordan are a spiritual picture of the waters of death. The ark had to go into the waters of the Jordan in order for the people to enter the promised land, the land of blessing. The Lord Jesus had to pass through the waters of death in order to pay the penalty for our sins and thus open the way into the land of blessing for believers. Remember, the land of Canaan, in the spiritual picture that we have here in Joshua, does not represent heaven in the future, but the heavenlies now. Everybody with me? That is the realm of spiritual realities that we enter now when we become Christians. This is where we enjoy our spiritual blessings in Christ. This is also the spiritual sphere of spiritual battles. Now, what about the two sets of stones? The reason for 12 stones is obviously representation. One stone for each tribe in Israel, as we see there in verse 5. In other words, the meaning of the 12 stones that were set up in the riverbed was clearly that the 12 tribes of Israel were identified with where the ark had been in the Jordan River. Do you see the spiritual picture? In the same way, we are identified with Christ. We are united with Christ in his death. This is our spiritual position in Christ. He entered the waters of death for us. And now God sees us as having died with Christ. When he died, we died. Because he died as our substitute, we are identified and united with him in that death. Believers are united with Christ in his death. Doctrinal point number two, believers are united with Christ in his resurrection. Believers are united with Christ in his resurrection. We've seen that the 12 stones in the riverbed where the ark had been speak of our identification with Christ in his death. But now the 12 stones on the riverbank where the ark came up speak of our identification with Christ in his resurrection. The 12 stones on the west shore were set up in the land. Call it the resurrection side of the Jordan River. What a beautiful picture we have here of our spiritual position in Christ. We are not only identified with Christ in his death, but also in his resurrection. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. All this, you see, is portrayed in the spiritual picture that we have here in Joshua chapter 4. The setting up of the stones not only had its historical significance then, it has its spiritual significance for the believer today. And Romans 6:11 indicates that we are not just to enjoy the spiritual picture, but live in the good of this truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, one more time. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Believers are united with Christ in his death and resurrection. What about practical application? Practical application number one. Have you come to the place in your Christian life where you've said no turning back? Have you come to the place in your Christian life where you've said no turning back? Look again at verse 18. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. There was no turning back now. They were committed. Are you committed? We often sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, right? The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Now, this is a hymn of discipleship. Do we mean it? Are we committed to possessing the land of spiritual blessings and the land where the spiritual battles are? The blessings are to be enjoyed, and the battles are to be won, and we're guaranteed victory if we're committed. Have you come to the place in your Christian life where you've said, no turning back? Practical application number two. Take time to tell your children about the markers. Take time to tell your children about the markers. Look once again at verses 21 through 23. Then Joshua spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. The parents were to tell their children what the stone markers were all about. We should do the same. Our first responsibility, of course, as parents, is to teach our children the gospel and see them come to Christ as their personal Savior. But then we need to share with our children what God has done for us in our lives, especially significant answers to prayer and events where the Lord obviously was involved. These are spiritual benchmarks. Share these markers with your children. Illustration. You know, our daughter Catherine right now has started a project where all of us in the family, from grandparents on down, are to write up one or more significant events in our lives where God obviously was at work. And then she's going to take it all and put it all together in a family book. This is a great idea. Maybe you want to do the same. Take time to tell your children about the markers.